Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Industry Standard with Barry Katz. As is customary on the podcast, I'd like to start off with a little story. About the summer of 2011, I was over at Jay Moore's house, and we were discussing what it really takes to become prolific and really be undeniable as far as making it in the business, getting your own show, becoming a stand-up, whatever it is. And we recounted stories of a young man named Nick Swartzen, of a young lady named Rain Pryor, and how they took the initiative, they wrote their scripts, they made their own one-woman shows, and that's how they really made a name for themselves in Hollywood and really became successful. It's really incredible what these people do and what the lengths they would go to, because one thing's for sure, nothing's ever handed to you on a silver platter. Apparently, a young man in Colorado heard this show and happened to be in certain discussions about creating something for himself. He was feeling a little down, like he had never really accomplished anything. Like the only real thing he'd ever done in his life was not get fired from a job that he'd been working at for 13 years. So he hears this podcast. He rounds up a group of his friends. He buys a little bit of equipment, gets a microphone, gets an iPad, gets a table, and a couple of chairs. You know, the kind of chairs that people would like to sit in and be comfortable with while they're talking into a microphone for a podcast. Those kind of chairs is what he went ahead and picked up, because he knew that that would be an important piece, really essential to create the holy shit moments that you would need to really make your mark on this business. They got together with some beers, with some whiskey. You know, the kind of whiskey that no one ever wants to drink, but you do it because you're friends and because you want to open up about drug stories and possible homosexual encounters, that kind of whiskey. Lots of stories have been told. Lots of shows have now been created. It is kind of amazing what a person will continue to do when no one's really listening. I basically know of this man because he has spent the majority of the summer of 2013 sending me emails, trying to be persistent, but mostly being annoying. And I finally have responded to him for the final time, and hopefully he will stop contacting me. And that young man was Trevante Jaramillo. Open my eyes just to have them close again. Well, on my way, but on my way to where I bring. Go from there, your host Trevante Jaramillo. It is a lovely Monday. Actually, not that lovely. Kind of rainy and shitty over here in Colorado area. Bit of a weird show tonight, but I'm kind of excited because it's something I can sort of mark off the list and maybe hope for a little more in the future. As some of you might know, I've been in a little bit of contact with Hollywood manager, TV producer Barry Katz. I know of Barry Katz from obviously Jay Moore, More Stories podcast. And most recently, his own project, Industry Standard, his own podcast where he basically talks to TV executives, directors, showrunners, which is actually kind of a neat podcast if they're talking about a show that you watch, because it gives you a kind of a cool behind-the-scenes look at how, you know, TV gets made, how easy it is for, you know, things to get thrown out and recast, how even great ideas don't get made, you know, that type of thing. So I really enjoy the show. Plus, he's really a cool He has a cool mind, very insightful, very helpful, not only in the business but probably in a lot of ways. And that's mostly why I hit him up to even do the show in the first place. The whole thing behind my show, it was just funny because, you know, me and a friend of mine were talking about starting the show up back in 2012, last summer, and kind of waiting to pull the trigger, didn't really know what to do, all that kind of stuff. And there was an episode of Jay Moore's podcast where the two of them were talking about, you know, how you actually make a name for yourself in this business, because the game has sort of changed, you know, like for stand-ups, it's more and more rare that, you know, an agent or, you know, some sort of network executive is going to see you on stage and offer you a show. Basically, you know, if you want creative control, and if you want to really do something that's you got to write it for yourself, pitch it, and, you know, really be into it for it to happen. And it was just one of those kind of like eye-opening moments for me, because I've never really had any kind of grand plan for myself. You know, when I was in high school, I hated it. I never wanted to go to college. I have been working since I'm, you know, 14, 15 years old, and just never really had any more ambition than to, you know, go to work, make a paycheck, get the fuck out of there. And then when podcasting came out, and of course, you know, big thanks to Rob O'Leary and the Friday Night Metal Show crew for, you know, letting me hang out with them during their radio experience, because that's really what made it appealing to me. Because, you know, how would you know if, you know, just sitting around with microphones and headsets with your buddies would be so much fun if you don't do it? And I mean, that show was a blast. We all miss it a lot, I think. But I think it's, you know, a piece of it sort of lives on in this studio, which I am very proud to say that that's happening. So, you know, the idea of doing a podcast, because I love listening to them so much, seemed less daunting since, you know, a lot of people do it. Obviously, a lot of entertainers, comedians, you know, sports guys, well-known guys do podcasts. But also, anybody really can do a podcast. But, I mean, there's something that, you know, hopefully you're doing something a little bit different that, you know, other people will want to check it out, and you can keep doing it, having fun with it, you know, engaging listeners and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I'm in the middle of trying to do. As far as Barry goes, that whole thing was kind of bizarre because, as you also may know, I've had some success getting some well-known people on the podcast. Obviously, Farrah from MTV's Teen Mom. Matt Paxton, who's been super cool ever since. He's a guy from Hoarders and Clutter Cleaners. Great guy. Pat Pirelli, world-renowned horse trainer, big fan or big hero of my dad's, and that's how I finally got my dad into this studio to do a show. So I was starting to get balls as far as, you know, going after names that I wanted to talk about. Now, what I did get caught up in was only doing that, because I kind of felt that those couple episodes kind of was the door opening to maybe like the next tier in, you know, guests and all that kind of stuff. And like, don't get me wrong, I love all my friends coming in here. I love all the local personalities that I get to talk to that, you know, everybody in town knows, or everybody in Colorado, or even maybe, you know, nationwide or worldwide know. That's great for me, because, you know, you never know what kind of story somebody's going to have. Everybody has wild tales. And that's what I try to bring for you guys. But I did get caught up in just the, you know, the email sending and talking to people's people and all that type of shit. And what that turned into was a month of waiting, waiting, waiting. And in a lot of cases, no response. In a couple cases, just a flat out no. So, you know, it was a little disappointing, but it was definitely like an awakening. Like, hey, dumbass, you're not on the next level yet. It might be forever before you get to a next level, if you do. So why don't you get back to the bread and butter and do, you know, what you've been doing to be as successful as you have been, which is minimal, but all thanks to you guys. So today's episode is basically a culmination and the possibly to be continued version of the Barry Katz saga. I don't know if he's going to ever know that I recorded this, but I thought about sending it to him, but I'll probably leave him alone for a while. I've been kind of up his ass for a while. Back when we were, you know, getting into the booking and like trying to get names and all that kind of stuff, some of my podcast brethren on Twitter began, you know, talking about names and stuff like that. And I know Sam McClain from the Just Talking with Sam podcast. He's landed some big names. Probably the biggest for me, if I haven't missed anyone, was comedian Paul Mooney, which you guys might know from Chappelle's Show. He was a guy, I think it was called like Paul Mooney at the Movies. And it was him and two white bitches, and they would, you know, talk about, like, very quickly talk about, you know, do some, like one-line review that was, like, a joke about whatever the movie they were looking at and stuff like that. So, you know, I thought that was huge, because I'm a huge fan of Paul Mooney myself. This is kind of on the outside if you don't listen to Jay Moore Sports, but my buddies Brad and Cobb that run the Tweeting Warrior podcast have had some luck getting the personalities from Jay Moore's show on their podcast. And I don't know what happened. I got like, well, who could I go like and try to book that would be just, you know, blow those guys out of the water? That's kind of what I was thinking of. Now, you would probably think that I would say automatically Jay Moore would be the guy that I want to talk to most. I thought about that a lot. And to be honest, like, I hope to see him do stand-up in Denver or something like that, because all his shows are meet and greet, and I would love to, you know, meet him, shake his hand, and tell him that he inspired me to do this. But at the same time, I kind of feel like he's still got that, you know, pretty strong vein of dick that goes through him, and I think it would really bum me out if he was even a piece of that, what I imagine. So I kind of sidestepped Jay, and I started thinking about, you know, who would be after that that's, you know, a possibility even. And so I did some looking online, and I found Barry Katz, which, you know, to podcast people, especially now that he's in the game himself, you know, when I said, you know, fuck it, like on Twitter, this is what I posted. I said, fuck it, I'm going big. And I put Katz's logo in the picture. And all of them were like, whoa, like you're going after the big guy. Like this is it, you know. And he's also somebody that's what I love about his show now, because it's a glimpse into a life that probably very few of us will ever even think about wanting to know about. You know, you hear from all the performers and stuff like that, but you don't hear from like comedy club owners or, you know, booking agents or, you know, publicists. Cause, you know, I mean, part of it is you don't care. You want to care about the stars, but to hear that side of the coin, that's not what I wanted to say. To hear that side of the story, it's definitely different. To me, it's interesting. Some of the shows are not, because, you know, they're talking to some guy that was on Dexter, and I've never seen that show. So, you know, to me, it's minimal interest. But then you have a guy like Peter Engel from Saved by the Bell talking about one of the shows that I've seen every episode 55 times. Yeah, I'm interested. It's cool to hear how, you know, Slater was supposed to be an Italian guy and they couldn't find anybody, so they found the Puerto Rican kid or whatever. And how, you know, Jesse Spano, Elizabeth Berkley was trying to be Kelly Kapowski, and, you know, just stuff like that. I just like that. I think it's cool. So yeah, I decided to go after Barry. I shot him an email and he was very receptive. He's been nothing but awesome this whole time, I'll say that. I got a little bit nervous and a little panicky, and I basically sent him one email's worth of information in three emails. And he kind of hit me back and he's like, look, you know, send me one more message saying exactly what you want to, tell me exactly what you want to do here, man. So I did. I rewrote the email, sent it back, and he basically replied with, you know, I'm just starting my own podcast. Let me get up and running, and, you know, we'll talk at the end of the summer. So, I mean, automatically I got really excited that he was even positive in his response. But then, after a few emails back and forth, I decided that maybe, you know, I was bugging him a little bit. So I decided to go direct with it. And the last email that I sent him was basically like, you know, when can we set this thing up? You know, here's the questions, you know, let me know if you have a time that we can, you know, bust this out. Thank you. You know, that whole thing. So last night, well, actually more like this morning, about 5 in the morning, I get the final response. And, like, at first, of course, because I'm a whiny bitch, you know, pussy boy, I got all butt hurt right off the bat. Because, essentially, the email revolves around he's not going to do my show anytime in the foreseeable future. But he did answer all the questions that I asked him in the email. So I thought that, you know, rather than letting that sit in my inbox and never see the light of day, I would throw out the questions to Facebook. I would, you know, read the questions, obviously, to you guys, throw the question out to Facebook to see what you guys thought about them. And then, of course, you know, read what he went ahead and answered with. So let me see if I can find today's earlier stuff. Like I said, 4 questions. No big deal. The first one I said, number one, how can a new entrepreneur or artist stay out of their own way? But before I go on, let me say this too. I told him in a previous email that the reason I wanted to talk to him was because, you know, wisdom that comes from unconventional sources a lot of times can hit people like us, you know, and I say us like all you, me and all you guys who have projects that are trying to get off the ground. It can hit us in a way that, you know, it would never land on us from a best friend or, you know, parents or whatever. Like, we're asking the same questions, but maybe the answer doesn't hit home like it might from another source. And I thought, you know, Barry, like I said, he's a great source of wisdom. He's got a lot of experience. He's failed a lot too. And I thought he would have a cool perspective on some of these questions. So, like I said, how can a new entrepreneur or artist stay out of their own way? A lot of you guys were awesome and hit me back. I'm only going to read a couple of these per because I don't want to take too freaking long to do this. But I'm not really sure what name to say here, but let's say Evil Rizik. All right. She is an avid Rammstein fan to the point where she plays in a cover band that they do. She gave a great answer to that. Don't listen to that little voice in the back of your head that casts doubt. We've heard little things like, you know, if you listen to your fans, you're destined to sit with them. Or, you know, just anything that, if you have any kind of doubt about what you're doing, then maybe you need to either change your thinking or stop doing what you're doing. It seems sort of simple, and this is one that I've definitely struggled with. Why do I keep doing this for? And I got to keep telling myself it's because it's fun and because you guys do help me with it, and you seem to enjoy it a little bit, so that's why I do it. Candies, who's always a good supporter, she just says, continue to get inspired. And I feel that one's like really broad, but it's also, you know, it's true for sure. What is it about every day that you're like, are you looking for things to feel good about when you get up? It's hard sometimes. I mean, this world is nuts, especially now. You got the Syria conflict. You got this Zimmerman asshole that Sam Talent earlier said that is he the only one that thinks that maybe Zimmerman is just some kind of government puppet to, you know, for distraction purposes from the real issues? Maybe, you know, we live in a crazy country, a crazy world. And it is hard to, you know, keep inspired, to keep, you know, ambitions up and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think what her point was, you know, just to keep your eyes open to the things that do bring, you know, some kind of happiness so you don't decide you want to kill yourself at the end of the day. And then our good friend Carlton, he just says humility. That's a big one, I think, because there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of weird practices, a lot of fake it till you make it, a lot of, you know, not really being, you know, too big of an asshole. And I think, you know, humility is definitely one that people need to kind of pay attention to. So thanks you guys for the answers. I won't say that again for the next ones, but here's what Barry wrote to me. He says, you have all the examples in front of you regarding that. So that question is easily attainable. Look at Belushi, Hedberg, Roseanne, Brett Butler, Heath Ledger, Charlie Sheen, etc. Can't get more straightforward than that, really. I mean, you look at all those names, and every one of those people has had some pretty crazy issues that kept them from getting to the next level. In Hedberg and Belushi's case, I mean, and Heath Ledger, they're dead over, you know, whatever they couldn't stop in their life. And I think that's a big one. I mean, I don't think that, you know, my circle and like the listeners that I have necessarily have major issues here. But, you know, maybe if there's a question, maybe it's something you should look into. I've talked a lot about it. I've actually more joked a lot about my, you know, alcohol problem and all that kind of stuff. I've thought a lot more about it recently. And I think my problem is I'm in such a controlled, justifiable mode of it that I need to continue to keep looking at what I'm doing before anything's going to change. So, I thought that was a cool answer from Barry, because obviously, you know, I think he took it a little extreme. I mean, there's lots of, you know, smaller ways that you can fuck up your own progress, but, you know, you got to make sure that if you're even, you know, trading paint with that kind of lifestyle, that you don't end up on the fucking slab too. Number two, how has your project or venture changed how things play out in your everyday life? And if applicable, your professional life. What I asked Barry was a tiny bit different. I asked him how industry standard has changed things for him and his everyday life and professional life. So we'll go to the Facebook here. David Angel, bless his heart. He just writes in, because I'm awesome. So that awesome feature was therefore added onto everything I did. So now everything I do is awesome, along with life and professional circumstances. And then ellipses is what I would say if I wasn't bullshitting. David, you got a big heart, buddy. And I hope you find some success that you actually enjoy and don't hate. Because you really are, you're kind of a human suicide note. I don't really know how to handle you sometimes. But I love you. Hang in there. I say that like he's dying himself. He's fine. He's fucking playing Xbox. Hopefully drinking. You know, not during baby hours, but whatever. Speaking of drinking, hang on. Ireland Escada. Great answer here. By starting my own business, I am more broke than ever, but I am 100% more happy. I couldn't agree with that one more. I mean, you guys know. If you guys actually know me personally, I'm a depressed cunt, and this show makes me less of a depressed cunt. So, Candies again writes in, it has changed my mindset for the better. I appreciate the small things more and know that anything is possible. Life is a matter of perspective. So many have told me how cool my life is, and that's a great compliment to get. Be grateful, believe in magic, strive for the best, and enjoy the ride. All right, shut up about magic. That's retarded. But, I mean, for somebody, you know, I'm not going to light up Candies here, but she's having a bit of a rough go right now, and she's making the best of it. Fuck it. You know, things happen. Sometimes things take a long way. Things take a long time to run their course where you can get back to just the normal life, and that's kind of what she's in the middle of, but she's still enjoying herself and doing what she wants to do, so good on her. And our a new buddy, Stony Rhodes. He writes in, I realized your job, house, and ego don't mean shit. Live life how you want and do acid. Yeah. I'm not really sure what I make about the acid comment, but, you know, if it works for him, I'm down with that. Barry says, it has opened up a whole new world. As a manager, I help one artist to accomplish their dreams and help them get to the next level. And now I get to help people from all over the world. Again, pretty straightforward, but I mean, that's pretty major, you know, like when you're in a one-on-one type of business, like he is, you know, you're trying to, I don't even know if he has any clients besides Jay Moore right now. I mean, his career is kind of storied as far as how he's represented and been fired by everyone. Dave Chappelle, Dane Cook, Nick Swartzen, like I was saying earlier, I mean, the list goes on. It's everybody that you know and love. Tracy Morgan, yeah. Yo, Barry, man, this ain't working out. I mean, just a weird existence to live and to keep going and to, you know, be successful. And, you know, I kind of wonder about his success level now. He never plays his hand as to, like, he always seems like he's in a good mood, positive, that things are going or will pick up if they're not going great. So I don't really know like where his level is right now, but it doesn't even matter because he's got the right idea. And now, you know, the idea of being able to help people that you don't even know or whatever is pretty amazing. So I've gotten to experience a little bit of that. I want to thank you guys that listen to the Faith Webster podcast. That thing ended up being huge. Of course, it's a sad, controversial story, but you know, we actually got a little bit of action that came out of it. So to me, that's worth more than any dick joke or, you know, free speech bullshit that, you know, we could come up with alone. So I just want to say thank you for you guys that check that out. So son of a bitch, Laura. I posted on Facebook right now that I'm doing a lonely cast, and she sent me a picture of the Hulk walking out into the sunset. It's funny. Son of a bitch. Goddamn. Alrighty, so let's go to number three. Sorry, I'm getting a little sidetracked. We're actually getting a little play on Facebook here. Don Chaney is, for one, upset that Barry has decided not to really do my show. So I'll have to address him for that. You're the man, Don. All right, let's do number three. This is the one that got the most attention, as it probably should have, because we live in a psycho Facebook smartphone world where love seems to be an illusion. Let me see what I ask Barry first. Number three, relationships, parentheses. I like this since I haven't heard you speak much on the subject. How do you think people of my generation can make a relationship last in today's world? The second part of that, I mean, the question is what I put out to Facebook. How do you think people of our generation can make a relationship last? And this thing got, I mean, for me, having 40 comments is a shitload. So, a lot of it's like the stock stuff. Gordon comes in and he says patience, sacrifice, and humility. I completely agree. Rachel Walker, podcast alum, she basically just says honesty. She loves a man who's real and can handle anything she's got to say. I think that's got to be the biggest one. And, you know, coming to you as a guy that has done some very dishonest, shady shit in relationships, that's a big one to me, because that's something I'm trying to change about myself. Now, I'm not in a relationship now. So, I mean, honesty kind of has to be the thing, because if I decide I ever want to get some ha-ha, I have to say that. You know, I can't be jumping in a shack with anybody that thinks that there's a relationship that's going to, you know, bud out of it. And it's a weird conversation to have, because it's like, it's such a dick move to just like throw that card on the table right off the bat. Like, I'm single, boom, deal with it. You know, anybody that does that in a relationship-esque setting is kind of a dick. You know, like if you're a single mom and you know, like I have two kids, boom, right off the bat, you're telling me that I don't ever get to make plans with you. You can cancel any plans that you make with me at a drop of a hat. And you don't even have to have a solid reason. You can just say, kids, no sitter. I'm not saying that those aren't solid reasons, but I feel like some women kind of use that to their advantage, or to their, whatever you want to say. Advantage is not really the right word, but you know what I'm getting at. So yeah, you know, being honest is really important. Obviously, it's really difficult for some people, and hopefully that'll change. You know, maybe enough people get caught in their own bullshit that they'll kind of turn it around a little bit. Jamie Zagarski, she's a new one to the show. Pretend to fight to the death on Adult Swim games. I like this idea because, you know what? If you ain't having fun, you need to get the fuck out of there. And, I mean, what's funner than fucking fighting each other on an iPhone game? I like it. Thank you, Jamie. Colton. My buddy Colton Giebowitz, I need to give this guy a call. He asked me to call him yesterday, and I forgot. he writes in, and he says, Ariel Castro had that figured out. Moving on. Kelly, my good friend Kelly Ellers, a little snarky, but she got one of the most liked comments of the day. She says, how about being faithful? I kind of said that like Farley. How about being faithful? That sounds all right. That wasn't even Farley. I don't know what that was. Yeah, that seems like such an easy concept, but it's so difficult for some people. And she actually quantifies her own comment by saying that, you know, people seem to have a hard time with that. Completely agree. Unless that's not your bag, and if it's not your bag, you better fucking be honest about it. Back to the honesty. See that? Let's see. I love this next comment. It's fucking great. Oh, wait. Amanda, she writes in. Amanda Stroder calls in and says, hard work and respect. That's an easy one. Rebecca Fuller. I'm trying to get her on my podcast because we need some action as far as her family situation right now. But she says very adamantly, sex, love, patience, and friendship in that order. And then she tried to sidestep it by adding a LOL at the end. I don't think so. I called her out on her dirtiness. And she later replied that she didn't mean for it to come out like that. But she's good with it and she's sticking with it. So her and Gary Rickard, my male model friend, who I'm not ashamed to say I have. He's a good dude. Going to be on the podcast very soon. He comes in with a very similar answer. Communication, sex, openness, experimentations in all aspects, friendship, and honesty. No particular order. Winky face. Yeah, all of those obvious. Experimentation in all aspects. I'm not really sure what he meant by that. I didn't ask. I don't know. I said he's going to be on the podcast. He was already on, and he told me the story of how he was basically cornered on Model Mayhem by a male photographer saying, hey, I can take your pictures and then I can jerk you off if you like. So maybe that's what he means. Experimentation is like, hey, you know, I don't know. Maybe if we have a good shoot, I'll let you reach around. Who knows? Sorry. Devin Cronin, also part of the podcast family. She says a couple things. First of all, she says, not with all these hoes walking around today. And then she comes back a little later and says, if I may quote Sir Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre, you cannot and shan't make a hoe into a housewife. That's a little bit different approach. Obviously, everybody up to this point was, you know, kind of going the easy lovey-dovey route. This one was kind of coming from the other side where everybody's just kind of a piece of shit. And that's something you got to think about. Like, if you're a piece of shit, you don't need to be worrying about if your relationship's going to work because you're probably going to be the one that fucks it up. So just think about that. Don't do that, okay? Chantel comes in with some more faith, trust, communications, compromise, and what many others lack, family values. That's a big one, I believe. I'm going to kind of call out Megan Forrest on this one. She's a new friend. We've had some beef over the podcast in the past. We're trying to bury the hatchet, but she writes in and she says, you have to wake up every day and make a conscious choice to love that person despite themselves. I feel that's a little bit kind of pointing at the other person, not really being very introspective. I mean, don't you have to love you first? Maybe she already loves herself and I am supposed to know that. I don't know. And then she also writes in, communication and sex, if either suck, it can't last. That's very true. I'll go with her on that one. Trinity Delgado, also a friend of the show, she says the four P's come to mind: patience, privacy, personal investment, and physical connection. She wrote a big preamble here. I'm not going to read all of it, but again, totally right. some more from the other side of the tracks. Shannon Funnel says, stay away from him, meaning relationships. Fuck it. Couldn't really disagree. If it's not your bag, you know, why bother? Be honest, be lonely, be fucking suicidal. But if being in a relationship's not your thing, don't do it, because it's definitely a giant waste of your time. Let's see. My man Eric Pellegrini goes a little old school here. He says, the same way our parents did. I don't believe the game has changed. I disagree kind of on this, but you know what? He might be kind of onto something. But, of course, I had to turn it around, and I told him that he's obviously a firm believer in a nice dash of spousal abuse. So, you know, a nice belt in the jaw whenever wifey's getting lippy. That's where Eric's coming from, and I can't disagree there. Let's see. Laura, I got to admit, she's probably not feeling too great about life right now. So how can relationships last? She just says they can't. Simple enough. Ireland comes back in, live in two different homes. You guys basically get the idea. I'll read one last one here from Janelle Barker, another friend. Personal experiences, I've seen how toxic some relationships can be. Then I look at my parents and I know how great they can be. No relationship is easy and our generation is getting harder. Kids aren't being taught to respect anyone, including themselves. And she goes on and on. I mean, very salient points, obviously. We do live in a different world and, you know, relationships are just going to continue to be kind of nuts. So let's go to see what Barry has to say. Barry, man, I know your answer is going to be incredible. I would read these in his voice, but my impression is obviously terrible. And you heard it at the top of the show. So he says, I don't know your generation or how old you are, but I assume you are in your 20s. Aww. Relationships are tough for people of all ages. After all, tradition says that a man and a woman should get together and have a monogamous relationship. Whether you are a guy or a girl, if your favorite food is chicken parmesan, how many days, weeks, months, and years can you eat it before it isn't your favorite anymore? The mind in a relationship can last for a long time, but it's the physical love that is so hard to maintain and keep the expectations going. And then he attaches a book, which seems to be out of my realm, but he sends a book by Meg J., PhD, called The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them Now. Well, I'm about to turn 32, so I'm not even going to bother looking into that whole thing. But I think all you guys had really great points. Thanks for the participation there. It was very helpful. Let's get back to... I think I only have one more. Let me look again. Hang on one second. And then I'll read you the last bit of the email, and we'll get out of here. So, where did I find it? Here we go. Okay. So, actually, I didn't really pose this as a question to Barry. I kind of just mentioned it at the end. Let me see what he actually said. Okay, yeah. This was kind of an offshoot. I asked you guys this. I didn't exactly ask him this, but I mentioned this to him, and I'll explain that when I get there. The last question I said, one more. You know, many don't have conventional means to turn to for help. And I mentioned, like, parents, best friends, mentors, you know, just like the regular places that you would, you know, maybe get advice. Where do you turn to when you are unraveling? As for me, you know, I do have those conventional methods. I have a couple of good friends, lots of family. My parents are awesome. Every once in a while, I hit my sister up, even though she's not really in the mood to hear my shit, but whatever. Of course, we get the joke answers. Andy Kanto comes in and he says he rants and raves on Facebook. I see a lot of people do that. I wonder if it actually helps them feel better. I don't know. Seems kind of bizarre. Rachel comes in again. She says, I was brought up to deal with it personally. Now, that's, you know, obviously a bummer. I don't know that she's great at it. I'm not calling her out or anything like that, but I think, you know, somebody like her would definitely benefit from having somebody more solid in her life to kind of look to. But, you know, in time, that should come. Chris Storr comes in, two-part answer. First says cocaine and whiskey. I said, really? And he says personal history. Actually opens up the vault for the podcast. Personal history, it didn't work as well as expected, but it taught me how to not become overwhelmed and self-sabotage. I also learned that no matter how much you love something, it can be bad for you, people included. So I feel like he was talking about the drugs and alcohol initially, and then he had to kind of quantify it. But hey, that's a very honest answer, my man. Appreciate it. Let's see. Another interesting one. Courtney DeJarnette, or DeJarnett. I don't know how you say your name, Court. When all else fails, because I do have mentors, parents, and friends, taking time out of my life to reflect upon my problems in a peaceful setting does wonders. It's when we don't give ourselves time to think shit through that it becomes too much to handle. How do you get any more true than that? Go on a hike, rifle shooting, go do something. Get out in the woods, get out next to a river, and reflect. You know, what's going on with me, really? Is it really everybody around me, or is it just me? It's probably just me. It is just me. Stop it. I'm breaking down. All right. Draper comes in, says Reddit forums. I'm like, whatever. Brad. Disappointing. Twitter. All right. No, I like Twitter. He's right. I'm not sure if Ned Kozlowski is actually being serious here, but I kind of feel like he is, and it's a little bit frightening. He says, when I'm breaking down seriously, I end up calling 72-hour holds on myself. Hanging out in the psych ward away from all the bullshit that's bothering me can really put life into perspective. Also, they sometimes lose my shoelaces, which makes getting home a wacky adventure. How big are your shoes that you can't walk home with no shoelaces? They're fucking clown feet shoes? What are you doing? This is interesting because if it is true, that's pretty extreme. Like, obviously, there's too much stress going on with you, Ned. Maybe you need to move to fucking Montana. Go fly fishing a little bit. And then Kay Kirsten, a good friend, she writes in, agreeing with Chris Storr on the cocaine and whiskey. She says, that was a different lifetime ago. Now, being a responsible parent, I've discovered professional counseling helps. The hard part is taking yourself to it. Yeah, that's a rough one, man. Counseling. I'll say I'm pro therapy, pro counseling, all that kind of stuff. Only because like it was court ordered for me. But you know, once I got in there and, you know, kind of brought the walls down a little bit and stopped acting like all victimized by having to be there, I did learn a lot, you know. Have I applied much of it? No. Do I pontificate about it a lot? Yes. So I'm a big fan of the therapy, and I appreciate that answer there, Kay. As far as the Barry interaction, what I actually said to him was this. I think that the people around me take in advice from less conventional sources, and I think our talk can be very helpful to many of my friends and listeners. And his answer to that little statement was this. And this was the part that bummed me out, but again, I'm able to do this podcast with his help, with your help. Hopefully you guys liked it. This is what he said right now. He says, right now I have to focus on the podcast. You got Marin, Todd Glass, Corolla. So I won't be able to do your podcast just yet. But I know once you break through in a big way, I will. I don't know if that was like the most amazing blow off ever, or if he's just telling me to fucking put my time in, because that's one thing I definitely have not done as far as, you know, the work that artists put in and stuff like that. I mean, shit, Ancient Wind already has a year and a half on me as far as, you know, their creative process and how far they've come. I'm a baby, so I'm just gonna keep working at it. And you know what, god damn it, Barry, I'm gonna show up at your office. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna come to fucking Malibu, and I'm gonna go to, I forgot the address, never mind, but I'll show up there. So just tie up the last of the email. I said, let me know a time we can chat. And have a great day. Sincerely, Travanti. And he signs off with his usual much respect, Barry. Again, not really sure how I feel about it, but I'll say this. It's something I can finally cross off my list. I don't have to worry about, you know, getting another email from Barry and seeing like what's going on. You know, for the meantime, I'm just going to let it float. Going to keep pounding the podcast out, trying to get some repeat guests on. And I will definitely be hitting up some names. I posted the other day on Facebook how if anybody out there listens to Opie and Anthony, you would know who Dr. Steve is. Viscous, yeah, fluid. I actually emailed him and got a very positive email back. He's a little busy as well, but he pretty much said he's on board, and he even listened to my show. So that's a little bit more than I could say for Barry, I think. But I'm not trashing Barry. And you guys on here, like, I appreciate your support, but this was not a bad thing. Like, why should I have Barry? You know, why should I have anybody? Why should I have Farrah? There's a hot 20-year-old that I got to see naked on a porno, and somehow I got to talk to her. Like, that shouldn't have really happened unless it was in a bar setting. So, yeah, that's pretty much the Barry Katz saga for now. Hope I didn't bore you too much, but I thought this would be kind of a fun, you know, listener appreciation opportunity. So hopefully at least you guys who contributed will check it out. So sign off for now. Go from there.podbean.com. And it also seems a little bit more important right now, the Audio Boo channel. So Google Audio Boo and go from there, one word, and you'll find the channel. And you'll find some of the podcasts there. Otherwise, you can go to iTunes and Stitcher Radio to pick the rest of them up. Thank you, guys. Have a great one.